Hello, my name is Keith Thildius, and I want to welcome you to the DebtWork Educational CD. And most of all, I want to congratulate you, because do you know that a very high percentage of people that buy educational materials like this never end up reading or listening or even using the software that they buy? They never even crack it open. So the fact that you're even listening to this right now is impressive, and once again, I do want to congratulate you. I've personally been teaching and consulting with students about total debt elimination for over 10 years now. And the sad fact is that debt elimination is actually a very easy process, but of course it's hard to do. It's just like losing weight or working out. It is definitely hard to do. And just like I was saying earlier, people will come to hear me speak and they're all excited, but then they don't follow through. So I created DebtWork in an attempt to give people a better chance at success when it comes to debt elimination, because I think it's that important. I truly believe that if everybody, and I do mean everybody, I'm not just talking about the people that are in bad shape, but I'm talking about everybody that has an income or that's going to have an income in the future, if they had a proven systematic debt elimination plan in place, I truly believe that this would be a better country and a better place to live. Imagine this, if everybody in your family had a debt plan in place. Imagine if everybody at your work or church had a debt plan in place and was actively working that plan. Imagine if your children had this knowledge before they left high school. I've personally seen firsthand how debt can hold people back and slowly disintegrate the quality of life. I've also witnessed how people can completely enhance their life with some simple knowledge and a little hard work. But believe me when I say, I think it's totally worth it. You can read all the self-help books in the world, but if you don't have your financial situation in order, it's a lot harder to implement what you've learned to improve yourself because you're just worried about the money. And even if your financial house is in order, you can greatly improve your situation by eliminating debt because now you got more money to create more wealth with. I could go on forever about the importance, but hey, you know, that's why you're here. But I'm hoping you're going to take what you learned today and help me spread the knowledge for the good of all of us. So let's get to work. I think it's important that you know why you're here, what brought you to make this decision to make change. It's crucial, and it's why I made this the first step in your success steps when you get into the DebtWork software, to write a financial mission statement. I know that I'm going to teach you how to do this. You're going to walk away with this. You're going to have the knowledge to eliminate debt. But I think it's important that you're completely cognizant of why this is important to you. And when you write the financial mission statement, you're reminded every month of why this is important. My mission with you is to not only educate you, but to inspire you to do this. As I said before, I work with people all the time, and I know that I've educated them, but I want them to be inspired moving forward. Speaking of mission statements, let me give you my mission today with you, and it's to help you regain ownership of your life by teaching you the option of first investing in your debt. And the reason I like to put the word option in there is because that's what this is all about. It's all about options for you. I'm not a financial planner. I'm not telling you what to do with your money. Some of the things I'm going to share with you today, you might already be doing, and this CD will validate the decisions that you've made so far. Some of the things I'm going to share with you, you might have done in the past, or you've learned it in the past, and you're just not doing it because the American way is telling you to do something different. And some of the things I'm going to share with you today might sound completely crazy and fly completely in the face of conventional wisdom, but I think as we get to the end of the CD, you'll see how this all comes together as a crystallized plan and that it really is just common sense. So let's get started with the conventional wisdom that's out there. Conventional wisdom says you go to high school to get good grades so that you can go to college and get a good job, and then you stay with that company for 40 years and you retire. And during that 40-year period, you've saved enough money to take care of retirement. You can travel the world, visit the family, and everything's perfect. But I think that you would agree that it's not even close to that way anymore. And during that 40-year period, we're supposed to be saving enough money so that when we hit retirement age, everything is taken care of. And there's this conventional wisdom that we're supposed to be following when it comes to saving enough money. Now, I'm going to paraphrase what conventional wisdom is. But I want to preface this by saying that this is by no means an argument against conventional wisdom. Conventional financial wisdom is actually very good advice. But I feel that it's a little outdated for people. And what I mean by that is it's wonderful advice if you're in your 20s and you decide to do it and keep doing it. Not bad advice if you're in your 30s. But if you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, it's just not going to be enough. You need to be doing something different. Okay, before we get into the conventional wisdom, I did want to mention that if you're listening to this CD, I am taking parts of this from the Debt Work textbook. And if you'd like to be following along with this, you can obviously download the textbook. And I'll be mentioning to you which pages I'm dealing with. And the conventional financial wisdom starts on page 6. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically what it says is take 10% of your gross monthly income before you do anything each and every month. You pay yourself first and you save up a 6-month emergency fund. The idea being that if you lost your job, you could live for 6 months while you find another job. Then take 10% each and every month, pay yourself first, and you invest. Because if you're not investing, you're not going to have anything at the end and you're going to have to keep working to survive. Oh, by the way, you should probably get rid of that debt that you have, but they never really tell you how to do that. And don't pay off your mortgage because it's the last tax shelter. Now, I know that you're sitting there and that sounds familiar to you, and that's actually very good advice. But for most people, especially if you're getting a little older, that's just not going to be enough. You need to be doing something different. And that's what the DebtWork software is about, is taking a look at a different possibility for living your financial life. But let me share with you the facts. Out of every 100 people reaching age 65 in this country, 25 of them are already dead. They don't even make it to 65, probably from working too hard, heart attack. 20 have incomes under $6,000 a year. They're just broke. The vast majority of people fall into a category. 51% of people fall into a category where they've got $6,000 to $35,000 a year coming in at age 65. Now, that is kind of a large range. I can tell you that the median income in that category is $12,000 a year, which means that the average American at age 65 is making $1,000 a month, which means that they're probably relying on Social Security. Finally, we do have 4% out of every 100 that are making over $35,000, but that number is a little misleading because in that category are all the people that were born rich, the millionaires and the billionaires. So there's not too many people that in one generation are making over $35,000 a year without having to work for it. And I have to clarify that this is money coming in without having to work for it. This is retirement income. So what I would like to do with you now is share with you what for me was a wake-up call when I decided that what I was doing was not enough and I needed to be doing something different. Now, the wake-up call is actually the second step in the success steps of your DebtWork software. But if you're not able to open the software right now, you're listening to this in the car, I'll basically walk you through what I'm doing. But just to give you an example, basically what this step does is to give you an idea of what you need to be saving to reach your retirement goals. So for instance, if you've opened up the chart, what I want you to do in the very far left-hand column, I want you to pick an income that you would be comfortable with at retirement age. Don't worry about the formulas and everything. Just as a gut feel, how much would you like to have coming in without having to work for it? Then go right to the right of that. That's what you're going to need in investments to achieve that income. So for instance, if you'd like to have $60,000 a year coming in, that means you have to have at least $1 million sitting in a nest egg, never touching the principal, just living off the interest. It would bring in about $60,000 a year. Now, obviously, it's going to take some time to create that nest egg. So you go across the top of the chart and figure out how much time you have left. And then come down, and where that coincides with your nest egg, that's what you're going to need to start saving each and every month from this day forward. Now, depending on what your age and your income, it's all relative. But I want to give you just an example to get us on the same page. I'd mentioned that $60,000 income. Let's say that a person's 40 years old and they got 25 years left to save for retirement. According to our chart here, they need to be saving $1,600 a month each and every month for the next 25 years. On the surface, that looks impossible, that it just can't be done. So what happens is people have to start lowering their expectations, and maybe I could live off of $50,000 a year or $40,000 a year, not because they choose to, but because they have to. And the reality more and more these days is that people are having to keep working to survive past age 65. Now, my definition of retirement is getting up in the morning and doing absolutely what I want to do that day. And if that definition resonates with you, you might work until the day you die. Because I feel that if you're doing something that you love to do or like to do quite a bit and you happen to be getting paid for it, I don't really consider that a job. But most people, except for the very few that are lucky enough to find something that they love to do and get paid well at that, most of us, if we were to choose to do something that we love to do. In most cases, that's a pay cut. So I want to get you to a point where you have that option because you have enough money coming in and you can make that decision. Now I'm going to ask you what might seem like a silly question. Are you debt-free? Now I know that's ridiculous because why would you have bought this and why would you be, you know, going through this if you were in debt? But the reason I bring that up is because I want to make a point. When I'm speaking to larger groups, say 100, 500, 1,000 people, and I ask that question, invariably someone's going to raise their hand and say, I'm debt-free. And then I'll ask them, well, do you have a mortgage? I'd say about 9 out of 10 times that person's going to say, well, yeah, I'm debt-free, but I've got a mortgage. Or I've had people tell me, I've got a car loan, but I'm debt-free. And it really has become this perception in this country that you'll probably always have a mortgage payment because we're told not to pay it off early. You'll probably always have a car payment because we're sold on the fact that you have to have a new car every 3 or 4 years. And that if you can just get rid of your credit card debt, that everything will work out. And mathematically, that's not working out for people. So let's take a look back at our chart here, because I know that this sounds like the bad news and that my CD is rather depressing so far, but hang with me because it's going to get better. But let's take a look at this from a different perspective. Let's take a look at that same scenario, the 40-year-old person that wants to have that $60,000 income, but they need to start saving $1,600 a month each and every month for the next 25 years. That just seems impossible. But if you take a look at this from a different perspective, what if that same person pays off the carpet loans or the furniture loans or the big screen television, pays off the credit cards, pays off the student loans that they might still have, pays off the car loans, pays off that home equity loan that they might have, pays off the house? Our scenario here doesn't look quite as impossible anymore now, does it? As a matter of fact, at that point, it seems rather simple. Because I'm going to go way out on a limb with you and say that you're probably spending $1,600 a month in debt payments. And even if you're not, whatever you're spending is going out the door to someone else. They are investing it and they are getting rich. Most people make enough money to create unbelievable wealth for themselves, but there's this huge chunk tied up in the debt. Most of us are already working about a half a year just to pay the government. When you take into consideration all the taxes that you pay, all the little piddly taxes, you're working about a half a year just to pay the government right off the top. And then if you are carrying the normal debt load, you've got a few credit cards, you've got a car loan, you've got a mortgage, you're probably working another third of the year just to pay your debt, which doesn't leave much left over to do everything else in your life, let alone try to save for retirement wealth. Now, I mentioned conventional financial advice earlier, and remember, this is not an argument against conventional financial advice, but one of the reasons why I think that people are being held back is this overall arching advice that says never pay off your house early. Remember, I'm not a financial planner. I'm not telling you whether you should pay off your house or not, but I think you would agree in our whole adult lives that it's pretty commonplace that we're told that, hey, you should never pay off your house early. Now, I must say, to be fair, in the last 10 years since I've been doing this, that it's becoming more and more accepted with the so-called experts that maybe it does make sense to pay off your house early. But for the most part, I think you would agree that we've heard our whole adult lives that you shouldn't pay it off early. But I think that's holding people back financially. We have a whole chapter in the textbook that talks about why we think you should at least take a look at the possibility of paying your house off early. And it starts on page 122, and the book goes into much greater details as far as the numbers go and everything like that, but I'm going to touch on some highlights for you. But the three primary reasons why we're told not to pay off the mortgage, first of all, it's cheap money. It's only costing me 7%, 6%, 5.5%. It's not that big of a deal. If I pay off my house, I'll lose my tax deduction, and I wouldn't want to do that. I could be getting a better return on my money elsewhere. Why should I be putting it towards my house when I could be putting it in the market and making 10, 12%? Now, obviously, that third one, at certain times in history, is obviously true. If you're putting your money in the market and you are making 10, 12%, that would be more than you would be if you were putting it towards your house. Now, we're going to talk about investing and savings later on as it applies to this subject, but I do want to touch on it here momentarily and just share with you that when you take a look at what you're going to invest your money in, not only are you supposed to take a look at the potential return on that money, but also that there's risk involved and that you could lose your money as well. But we'll talk about that in greater detail later. But let's take a look at these other two, the concept of cheap money and tax deduction. Now, first of all, before we get into that, you've probably heard this before, maybe in other educational material, but the word mortgage actually comes from two Latin words, mortuus meaning death, gage meaning grip. The actual word means death grip. If you know anything about history, you know debt has been around since the dawn of civilization. And people used to put their life up against their debt, and if you couldn't pay it, they'd kill you. Now, obviously, no one's going to kill you today if you can't pay off your mortgage, but is it killing people financially, this idea of holding on to the mortgage? So let's take a closer look at this. This concept that this is cheap money comes from the fact that we've been taught to focus on the interest rate. So many people are so focused on the interest rate rather than the interest cost. We've lost sight of the interest cost because we're so focused on the interest rate. And I can simply guarantee you that if people would focus on the interest cost half as much as they focus on the interest rate, I guarantee you people would be paying off their houses early because it would just drive them nuts to realize how much they are paying in interest per year or per month. Unfortunately, the only time we're ever exposed to the interest cost is the day we sign the paperwork. And this is only because now it's the law. They have to tell you how much this is going to cost. And you might have experienced this when you bought a house or bought a car, but they'll show you, hey, if you're going to take 30 years to pay this off, this is what's going to cost you. And we'll just take a look at that and go, oh my gosh, and just sign the paperwork and yeah, I know I'm going to pay a ton of interest, but I don't want to think about it. I guarantee you, if people would focus on how much it's actually costing them, that they would be more likely to pay off their houses early. Let's take a look at the real cost of a mortgage. Now, this chart that I'm using here is on page 130 in your textbook. And let's just take a look at, say, a house financed at $150,000 at 7%. If those people took the full 30 years to pay that off, it'd end up costing over $359,000 in total payments, which is over $209,000 of interest alone, which is pure profit for someone else. And don't you think that $209,000 might make an impact on your future financial well-being? Of course it would. But unfortunately, the only way to get that $209,000 back is if you pay it off in the first month, and that's ridiculous. But the sooner you pay off your mortgage, the more of that money you can put in your best interest rather than slowly giving it to someone else. And what rate do people actually pay? You know, everybody's so concerned about what their interest rate is, and yet most people don't realize the interest rate they think they have until later on in life. Because the average American family moves every 5 to 7 years, which means they're always in the first 5 to 7 years of their mortgage. And what does your mortgage statement look like in the first 5 to 7 years? It's all interest. For instance, on our chart on page 133 in the textbook, take a look at an 8% interest loan on a 30-year mortgage. When these people are sending in their payment, 91% of it's going towards interest. They've paid 15 years. They've never missed a payment, and yet still 70% of their payment every month is going towards interest. Now, it's true that if they pay this out over the full 30 years and they never get caught up in refinancing, that it mathematically, it does work out to be an 8% loan. But lenders learned a long time ago, people move all the time. And so let's set it up so that it's all front-loaded so that we make most of our money in the first 15 years. And this is probably one of the reasons why they spend millions of dollars in advertising to get people to refinance. Let's say someone's 20, 25 years into a mortgage and they refinance. All that does is kick them back in the 90 percentile where they're paying mostly interest again. Now, it's true that they've financed less, but they're back to where most of their payment's going towards interest rather than principal. If I do my job correctly today, you won't care what your interest rate is on your house. Now, I'm not saying you should never refinance to get your payments lower, but I don't want you to be making decisions on the interest rate. I could make an argument that a 13% interest rate is better than a 7% interest rate if you've got a plan and you do it correctly. Think about this. A 13% interest loan over a short amount of time is better than a 7% interest loan over a long amount of time. It's just pure simple math. Let's talk about that second reason why people don't pay off their mortgages. Have you ever heard that you shouldn't pay off your mortgage because you'll lose your tax deduction? I'm sure you have. But if you really break this down, this doesn't really make sense. Let's say that you're in the 28% tax bracket and you pay a dollar of mortgage interest. For every full dollar of mortgage interest that you pay, you're going to get back 28 cents. That's your deduction. But can you see that if you just paid off the mortgage, and you pay the 28 cents every year, that you save 72 cents? Now, if I came up to you on the street and I said, here's 28 cents, but only if you give me a dollar back, you would never do that. And yet, that's what CPAs have been telling their clients for years. Hold on to your mortgage for the tax deduction. In plain English, what that is saying is pay thousands and thousands of dollars of interest every year to save a few hundred dollars in taxes, when the alternative is that you could pay off your house early, save yourself thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of interest. And it's true, you're going to pay a little bit more in taxes, but can you see in the overall financial picture that you're coming way out ahead? I'm always reminded when I speak about this mortgage tax deduction thing, one of my first clients that hired me to do one-on-one consulting told me that his CPA said, you know, go get a bigger mortgage, you'll get a bigger tax deduction. That's crazy. That's looking at your financial picture strictly from a tax perspective and making decisions that way. I'm going to teach you how to eliminate your debt. It's simple. The process is simple. Doing it is the hard part. But I know that when you finish this CD, you're going to know how to eliminate your debt. But I feel like my mission is to inspire you to do it. So to do that, one of the things that I try to do is not only educate people, but give them bigger picture ideas. And one of them being that take a look at the possibility of paying off your mortgage early. It will save you thousands and thousands of dollars worth of interest. That alone will change your financial life. And I'm going to show you the fastest way to do it. Okay, so if you're following along, turn to page 156, because I'm going to show you the numbers of the typical American family. Now, these numbers are statistical. These numbers might be low for you. They might be high for you. But the typical American family is $170,000 in debt. They're servicing that debt with about $2,000 a month. That's their monthly payments. These people, when it's all said and done, they make about $5,000 a month, and they are going to be in debt for the next 28 years. And that's if and only if they never create any more new debt. And the likelihood of that happening in this country is practically nil these days. But these are the numbers I'm going to use to show you how the process works. Now, I want to be clear with you that if you're using the DebtWorks software, that you're going to be able to punch in your numbers, and the DebtWorks software uses an advanced algorithm to figure out what is the fastest way for you to get out of debt. But even if you never crack open the software, that's why I'm creating this CD, because I want you to be educated. I'm going to show you how these people can be completely debt-free in 8 years, including the mortgage. And I know that sounds crazy, but it can be done. And even if it's not less than 10 years and it becomes 11 or 12, 15 years, that's a heck of a lot better than the alternative. Because the one sad fact that I've learned in this industry is that if a person or family does not have a debt elimination plan of some kind in place and they're actively working that plan, they will be in debt for the rest of their lives. Period. It's just too easy to get in debt and to stay in debt. Unless you've got a plan that you're actively working on, most likely you'll be in debt for the rest of your life. I'm showing you that you can be completely debt-free, including your mortgage, in less than 10 years. So I'm going to walk you through the DebtWorks system and show you how these people and how you are going to be able to eliminate your debt, including the mortgage, in most cases, in less than 10 years. Now, the first thing that we need to do is establish a priority. The most common mistake that people make is that they don't have any particular order or strategy when they're working on their bills. They're just kind of haphazardly trying to pay the bills off. So I'm going to give you an exact order to work on your bills. Now, remember, here again, the software, you'll be able to just punch in your numbers, and it's going to give you the order that's best for you. It's going to give you the fastest way. But if you only have two or three debts, or you decide that, you know, I don't need the software or whatever, I want to give you a proven strategy that you can use to eliminate debt as quickly as possible. Now, probably the one that you're most familiar with is highest interest rate to lowest. And that's actually not a bad way to go. But the way that I've found that is much more effective is lowest balance to highest. I've been running the numbers long enough to know that most of the time, lowest balance to highest is just as effective as highest interest rate to lowest. The reason I chose lowest balance to highest when I've been working with my students one-on-one, though, is it's much more effective psychologically, because when you can show people results immediately, they are so much more motivated to stay on track. And not only that, what it does for you quickly is to improve your cash flow. And so if you're in a situation where things are pretty tight, think about how that could improve if you can eliminate some of your credit card debt and to improve that cash flow. So not only is lowest balance the highest effective psychologically, but it also makes sense financially as well. But now I'm going to walk you through the process. I'm actually on page 25 if you're following along in the textbook. And if you're listening to this in the car, I'll try to make this as clear as possible. But basically, we know the exact order we're going to work on the bills. And I'm just going to talk about us collectively, like this is our money and these are our debts and we're working on this together. And so now we know the exact order that we're going to work on the bills, lowest balance to highest. And now the next thing is to create a debt investment. How much are you going to decide to invest in your debt elimination plan to make this happen faster? Now, the goal is to use 10% of your gross monthly income. Now, at this point, don't worry about where this money is going to come from. I know you're thinking about that, but don't worry about where this money is going to come from. We're going to talk about that later. But right now, I just need you to get in your mind 10% of your gross monthly income. And for the typical American family, that's $427 with those numbers that we were using before. So we sit down next month, and this is what we do. We take the $427, we add it to the minimum monthly payment on the first bill. $427 plus $24 is now $451. So now they take this $451 each and every month, and they start sending that to their first bill. You can see that that MasterCard is $972. That's going to be paid off in about 2 months. So I'll put this in your terms. You're taking 10% of your gross monthly income, adding it to the minimum monthly payment on your first bill. Then you start sending that amount to the first bill until it's paid off. And for my example, a $972 MasterCard is paid off in 2 months. So now we got that $451 burning a hole in our pocket. And the question is, do you want to take that money and party or whatever? Well, obviously, we're in debt elimination. So what we're going to do is take that $451 and add it to the minimum monthly payment on the next bill. $451 plus $41 is now $492. Now we start sending that each and every month to the second bill, which is the Discover, and that's about a $2,800 bill. $2,800 divided by $492, it's gone in 6 months after we start working on it. Now do you want to party? Well, of course not. We want to keep going. So we take the $492 and add it to the minimum monthly payment on the next bill. $492 plus $86 is now $578. Now we're sending that to the third bill, which is the Visa, and it's a $4,300 bill. $4,300 divided by $578, it's gone in 7 months after we start working on it. Now we're going to start to see some power here because we're going to take this $578 and add it to a $359 car payment. Instead of sending $359 a month to the car, now we're sending $937 a month to the car. And the $8,000 or so that we owe on the car, it's paid off in 9 months. So I think you can see what I'm doing. I'm just rolling the debts, which is nothing new. You might have even done this in the past or where you paid off something and you started sending a little extra money to another debt. But the beautiful part about this system is, first of all, lowest balance to highest. These people have knocked off $4,000 worth of debt in 8 months. And no one has ever said, outside of debt elimination advice, out there in the mainstream of debt management advice, no one has ever said, take extra money and systematically make this happen faster. Not just every once in a while when you feel like it, but every single month you take a certain amount of money and you make this happen faster. Because if you don't, it's going to take years to get out of debt. And instead of doing something that we've all done before, I'm sure that you at one time or another has paid off a debt early. And what I mean by that is you've got a lump sum of money and it just so happens to pay off, say, $2,000 on a credit card, or you're able to pay off your car a little early or whatever it might be. And then the question is, then what did you do? Now, if you're anything like I was, whenever I paid off something early, I saw it as a raise. For instance, I paid off a car 6 months early or whatever, and now that car payment's not there anymore. And I'm thinking, I just got a $300 a month raise. Now what can I afford? If you're committed to making yourself a wealthier person, bottom line, can you see that the more debt you get rid of, the wealthier you're going to be, obviously. But more importantly, instead of letting that money leak back into your life, now it can drive your debt investment, because the only extra money that you're ever really going to have to come up with is the debt investment, the 10%, and we're going to talk about that. But the real power is in the minimum monthly payments themselves, the money that you're already spending. If you pay off a credit card or you pay off your car and you take that payment and you roll that into your debt investment, you haven't changed your lifestyle whatsoever. You know exactly what it's like to live without that money. But see, what's happening is now you've got more money to go towards these larger debts. We get down to the home equity loan. We were sending $389 a month to it, but now we're going to start sending $1,600 a month to it. And it's paid off in 19 months. Now we're going to start doing battle with the mortgage. We were sending $757 a month. Now we're sending $2,400 a month. And it's paid off in 46 months. The typical American family was $170,000 in debt. Using 10%, they could be completely debt-free in 8 years. Now, to be fair, that's if everything goes perfectly on paper from this day forward, and we know that's not going to happen. But as I said before, most people are never going to be debt-free. So even if that 8 years turns into, like I said, 10 years or 11 or 12, that's a heck of a lot better than the alternative. Now, I told you that this was simple, very simple, hard to do, but a very simple process. I remember the first time I was ever exposed to information like this, all I kept thinking was, why didn't I think of this? And then I started to get a little upset because I thought to myself, wait a second, you're telling me I have a business education. I took stats classes, economics classes, accounting classes, tax classes, financial investing classes, and no one took 5 minutes and showed me this? We should be teaching this in high school, but I had never even heard of this information. And if this is the first time you've ever heard this, now you have the knowledge to quickly eliminate your debt and to completely change your life. Now, remember when I asked you, after we paid off the first credit card, if you wanted to party? Now, I know that sounded ridiculous at the time, but I would suggest that in your process that you take time out to reward yourself. And what I mean by that is, you know, if it only takes you 2 months to pay off your first debt and you don't feel like you've done anything yet, that's fine. But I would highly suggest that the first time you feel like you've hit a milestone, for instance, the typical American family, they paid off $4,000 in 8 months. I think that's worth rewarding themselves. So the first time you feel like you've hit a milestone, take a month off, take the money that you were going to invest in the debt and do something with it. Now that could be something practical, something that you need for the house, the kids or whatever, or something not so practical. You know, take yourself out, take your spouse out or, you know, whatever it is, pay cash for it and get yourself right back to it. And the reason I want you to do this is I want you to reward yourself for doing something that most people are never going to do. They are never going to focus and be completely debt-free. You are on track to be debt-free years ahead of schedule, so reward yourself for that. So now you know the process. Very simple process to eliminate your debt as quickly as possible. Looks good on paper, but now we got to make this happen, which is a whole nother subject. So I want to take some time right now to inspire you to do this. Now, now you've got the education. You know how to do this. But my job is to inspire you to do this. And remember, what I shared with you before, one of the first things I shared with you to inspire you is to take a look at the possibility of paying off your house early. Now you know how to do that. You've got the knowledge to do that. But the next thing I want to do for you is to change the way you think about debt. I want to ask you a question. When you think about your debt, how does it make you feel? How does it actually make you feel when you think about your debt? Is it safe to say that when you think about your debt, it's a negative thought, that it brings stress to your life, it's a burden, it causes strain on relationships and your time at work? It's a negative thought. When you think about your debt, it's a negative thought. And humans are really good about shying away from negative things. And it's one of the reasons why I think people don't focus on debt elimination as much as they should. So I want to change the way you think about debt into a positive. So let me ask you a simple question. Does it make sense when I say interest saved is interest earned? The typical American family, by paying off their debt early, have saved themselves over $118,000 worth of interest. That's a pretty good return on their money in an 8-year period. $118,000. Now, this doesn't mean that the day they pay off their house that they get to pull up some website and go, oh, look, there's my $118,000. It doesn't work that way. But what they have done is they've kept that 118 in their life to use in their best interest rather than slowly giving it to someone else. But let me make this a little bit more powerful for you on a monthly basis. Let's say that you take $1,000 and you put it towards, 11% credit card. What has happened in that moment is you just made 11% on your money, except it's risk-free, it's guaranteed. There's not a bank in the world that's not going to take your money. It's a guaranteed investment. It's tax-free. The IRS isn't going to come and say, hey, we noticed that you saved $118,000 over the last 8 years. We need to tax you on that, at least not yet. And it's commission-free. There are no loads. There's no fees. There's no transaction fees. No one's going to make a commission off the money that you save yourself. So if we're in agreement that interest saved is interest earned, your debt is an investment vehicle. And it's actually the most ironclad investment that there is because there's no possible way to lose money at it. And so what I want you to do is to change the way you think about debt. And when you sit down to pay your bills every month, I want you to get in the habit of telling yourself, I'm investing because interest saved is interest earned. I used to get a kick out of whenever I made a payment, I would make a concerted effort to look over and say, okay, I just made 11% of my money. I just made 8% of my money. I just made 20% of my money. To get myself into the habit of thinking of investing and earning interest because I'm saving interest. Another thing that the typical American family has done is that they freed up $2,000 a month in income. That's essentially a $24,000 a year raise that they gave themselves in an 8-year period. They didn't have to go to their employer and ask for a raise or anything. They gave themselves that raise by eliminating debt. Bottom line, if all you ever do from this educational CD is eliminate debt, you're going to be a wealthier person. The more debt you get rid of, the wealthier you're going to be. But more importantly, now the typical American family can invest about $2,400 a month. That $2,000 a month in income that they freed up, they add that to the $400 that they were investing in the debt. That works out to be about $2,400. And if they were to invest that over the 20 years that they saved themselves. Now, remember, we said that the typical American family was going to be in debt for the next 28 years. Now they're out of debt in 8 years. They've saved themselves 20 years of time. If they take that $2,400 and they invest that over the 20-year period, earning 10%, it's worth close to $1.8 million. It's all the same money. It was either slowly going to go to someone else just to pay their stuff off, or they'd pay off their debt as quickly as possible, then use the same money that they're going to waste on debt payments anyway and invest that. And in the same time frame that most people are still worrying about paying off their mortgage, they've done all that, plus they got $1.8 million. So you might be thinking now, but what about traditional investing? Are you telling me that I shouldn't be investing? Remember, I'm not telling you what you should do. I'm not a financial planner. But let's take a look at traditional investing and what it would have to do to equalize what we've done here by investing in the debt. Now, let's not worry about the $1.8 million down the road. Bottom line, let's take that $2,000 of income that we created as a benchmark, and let's figure out what would traditional investing have to do to create a $2,000 a month income in an 8-year period? Well, what we would have to do is we would have to take that 10%, the 427 that we were investing in the debt, we would have to take that 427 and invest it monthly, and that monthly investment would have to grow to over $235,000 in 8 years. And if you assumed at that point that that nest egg would give you a 10% return, that would give you that $2,000 a month in income. But to achieve that, the 427 would have to grow at 37.13, risk-free, tax-free, commission-free for the next 8 years in the market. And that's never going to happen. Even in the good times, that was never going to happen because there's no such thing as a risk-free, tax-free investment. There's no such thing. Now, does that mean that because you're using the debt work system that and you start investing in your debt that you're going to get a 37.13 return on your money? Of course not, because you don't have the exact same numbers. But whatever it works out for you, if it's 5% or 11% or 25% or could be more than that, 42%, whatever it works out for you, just remember it's a risk-free, tax-free, commission-free investment. And you can't get that anywhere in the world except in your debt. But you might be thinking, okay, but if I'm not investing, I'm going to be losing out over time. So what I'm going to do for you is I'm going to lay out traditional investment advice side by side with our scenario that says, let's invest in the debt first. And this is on page 170 in the Debt Work textbook. Now, here again, if you're listening to this in the car, I'll try to make this as clear as possible for you. But let's reiterate. Traditional advice is take 10% of your gross monthly income, save up a 6-month emergency fund, then take 10% and invest, and don't pay off your mortgage early. Let's put that side by side with our scenario that says, let's invest in the debt first, then we'll save up a 6-month emergency fund, and then we'll invest. Basically focusing our money one step at a time, and let's see what would happen. And this is all assuming a 10% return. Well, on the traditional side, it would take these people 4 years to save up an emergency fund before they even get started. 4 years. Now, that's exactly why most people don't have the emergency fund that they're supposed to have. I would be willing to bet that most people have heard that you should have 6 months set aside. But if you would actually calculate how long it would take you to save up 6 months, in most cases, it would take you years. And our hypothetical family, it takes 4 years to save that up before they even get started. But they've been able to do it. And now they take the 10%, the 427, and they start investing it. And at the 10-year mark, they get about $75,000 in investments. Not too shabby. In the meantime, we're taking the 10%, the 427, investing in the debt. We earn $118,000 worth of interest because we saved $118,000 worth of interest. Plus, we own everything in 8 years. Then it takes us 6 months to save up a 6-month emergency fund rather than 4 years. Now, there's two reasons for this. One of them's obvious. You're debt-free. You're making more money. It's going to grow faster. And the second one is not quite as obvious until you think about it for a second. If you're debt-free, your emergency fund doesn't need to be as big now because you own everything. And if you lose your income stream, you don't have to come up with mortgage payments. You don't have to come up with car payments, credit card payments. You own everything. So you wouldn't need as much money in your emergency fund. Conversely, it doesn't take as long to build it up. So rather than 4 years, it takes 6 months to grow that up. Now we can start investing $2,400 a month because we're debt-free and we can do that. And at the 10-year mark, we got about $70,000 sitting in investments. Now, for all intent and purposes, that's really the break-even point where we catch up to the traditional side, and it's basically a tie. So let's just make it simple, and let's just say after 10 years on the traditional side and our side that we both have $75,000 sitting in investments. But my question to you is, what's the difference between our net worth if we have $75,000 and their net worth if they have $75,000? I know you've probably already thought of it, but they might have $75,000 sitting investments, but on paper, they're not worth a thing. They have a negative net worth. We have $75,000 sitting investments, plus we own everything. We have a positive net worth. So it might seem like the traditional side has been ahead of us, and we have just now caught up to them after 10 years. But after 10 years of investing, we're in two entirely different places. Take this out over the life of the traditional family actually paying off their home. And in the meantime, they've been able to amass about $600,000 in investments. And that's exactly why conventional financial advice is very good advice. I know you're sitting there and you know that there's only a fraction of the population that will ever get to that point. Paid off the house and you got $600,000 in investments, there's not too many people that are going to achieve that. But in the same time frame, we've got $1.8 million using our scenario. And which one would you rather have? Now, that's a silly question. Of course, you want the million more, but that's not why I teach this. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'd love to hear from you someday. You shoot me an email or however we're communicating in the future and you let me know that, hey, I'm debt-free and I've got a couple million dollars sitting. I want you to achieve that, but that's not why I teach this, because that's just money and that's really the end game. The reason I teach this is, how is this information going to change your life now and in the near future? Because let me ask you a simple question. What do you think your life is like once you're debt-free to the rest of your life as opposed to their life the whole way? Wouldn't you agree that it might be a little less stressful? You're going to get to a point where Christmas is cash, cars are cash, emergencies are cash, vacations are cash. Wouldn't you like your kids to grow up with this mentality? One of the most common comments that I've gotten over the last 10 years is, I wish I would have known this 10 years earlier. I wish I would have known this 20 years earlier. If you've got children, please teach this to them, because they're not going to learn this in high school. They're not going to learn this in college. The best way to teach them is by example, but sit them down and talk about the money and say, hey, look, someday you're going to get out of school and you're going to get a house and a car and everything. This is the fastest way to eliminate debt. Now, they're not going to listen to you, but at least they can never say they never heard it. And eventually it will click for them. But you might be sitting there thinking, you know, this all sounds great, but this is going to take discipline. And as I said before, this is not easy to do. This is not a skate. It's one of the reasons why I called debt work, because of the fact that it takes work. But anything that's worth anything takes discipline. And my contention is, doesn't it take discipline to live your life like this traditional side too? See, most people aren't even doing that. at least here you can pack the real discipline into 10 years and then just worry about what you're going to invest in. Now, the discipline never goes away. Once you're debt-free, you still have to be disciplined to now take that money and start investing. And I've actually had people get themselves completely debt-free, and then they go right back into debt, like it's all about the journey, and I want to do it again. You have to stay disciplined, but can you see that once you're debt-free, the stress level is completely different from living your life like the traditional side? Now, I'm going to show you here in a little bit how to take as much of the discipline out of it here as possible, put this on automatic pilot, and it's the debt investment account, and that's actually a big step in the DebtWork software as well. So you might be thinking right now, okay, Keith, this sounds great, but where's this extra money that you keep talking about, this 10%? Where's that going to come from? Now, actually, I'm going to show you how this process will work, even if you don't have any extra money. If you've got zero extra money, this will still work for you. If you're following along in the book, turn to page 39, and I'm going to show you a chart here that will show you how powerful this process is, even without any extra money. You'll see on that chart the scenario that we've laid out using 10%, the 427, that these people are debt-free in 8 years, and they save over $118,000 worth of interest. If they use zero extra money, they'd still be out of debt in 11 years, and they would still save over $94,000 worth of interest. Now, how did they do that? Well, what they would do is they would just pay minimum monthly payments, but as soon as one of their bills was paid off, they would take what they were initially sending to that bill, and they would roll that onto their next bill, and that would become their debt investment. If you just roll the debt, you're going to get yourself out of debt. But can you see how ridiculous that is, that you would never have any extra money to put towards this, that you would never have an extra $100 and never have an extra $50 to put towards this? If you've got an income, you've got extra money to put towards this. But the reason I bring up this ridiculous hypothetical that you would never have any extra money is that there are going to be some months where you don't have any extra money to put towards this. Real life things are going to happen, and I don't want you to get discouraged 6 months down the road and you're thinking, you know what, this doesn't work. This is just pure simple math. If you put yourself on a plan and you keep at it and you focus on it, you're going to be debt free. The only way that this will not work for you is after you finish the CD, you go, oh, that guy's crazy, I'm not doing that. If you start doing it, you quit doing it, or if you keep charging. But if you put yourself on a plan, you focus on it, eventually you will be debt free because it's just pure simple math. But what if you could come up with more than 10% to put towards this? Now, 10%'s the goal. And we're going to talk about why that's the goal here in a second. But what if you could come up with more than 10%? Now, for most people, that's not reality either. 15, 20% of your gross monthly income for most people is just too much money. But for some people that are listening to this CD, you know, they might only have one debt, you know, maybe just their mortgage or their car. And so theoretically, they should be able to come up with more than 10% because they're not strapped with the consumer debt. But for the most part, I think it's safe to say that 20% would be out of the realm of possibility for most people. But I want to share with you what would happen for the typical American family if they were able to bump that debt investment from 10% up to 20%. And this is on page 166 in your textbook. You can see in the 10% scenario, remember, they'd be out of debt in 11 years and they're able to amass $1.8 million in investments once they're debt-free. If they were able to use 20%, that's $854. They're out of debt in 6.5 years. Now, it doesn't make that much difference in time. You would think it would cut it in half, but it doesn't work that way. You start to get diminishing returns. But where it really comes into play is on the back end when they get to start investing. Because in the same time frame that the people using 10% are able to amass $1.8 million, these people are able to amass $2.5 million in the exact same time frame. Now, as I said, for most people, that's not reality. But the reason I bring up this hypothetical is that there are going to be some months where you have more than 10% to put towards this. You're going to do well 1 month in your spending. You're going to get a commission check or a bonus check. You're going to get your IRS return. And now that you've changed the way you see your debt, you see it as an investment. The more money you put towards your debt, the more interest you're going to save yourself and the faster this is going to go. Now, the 20% is not going to happen all the time. The 0% is not going to happen all the time. Let me tell you exactly what's going to happen all the time. Your debt investment is going to fluctuate. It's going to fluctuate. That's just real life. It's going to be 10% for 6 months, and then it's going to be 5%. Then it's going to be 10% for 3 months, and then it'll be zero for a couple months. Then it's going to be 12% 1 month and back, you know, back. It's going to fluctuate. That's just real life. The reason we use 10% as a goal is because financial planners say that we should be investing 10%. So fine, we use that as a goal. And you're going to see here in a little bit why that's important, of getting in the habit of investing 10%. But remember, 10% is the goal. You might be going through the DebtWork software and find out, wait, 10% is too aggressive. I can't do that. And that's fine. If it's 5% or if all it is $100, remember how powerful zero is. But also, you might be working through the DebtWork software and find out 10% is easy. I'm already doing that. And I could be investing 12% or 15%. And by all means, do not cap yourself off because I said 10%. If you can do more than 10%, remember, the more you put towards this, the more you're going to save yourself and the faster this is going to go. Okay, but that still doesn't tell you where this extra money is going to come from. So what I'm going to do for you right now is I'm going to share with you the two easiest places to find money. Now, admittedly, these places are easy to find money if you fall in these categories. If you don't fall in these categories, you're going to have to get a little bit more creative and find your money someplace else. But I've been doing this long enough to know that most people that come to my seminars or buy my DebtWork system, most people will fall into one or both of these categories. First one being that if you are saving your money, you can stop saving your money. Now, I know that goes against everything that you've ever been taught about money. And you're thinking, you know, this guy says he's not a financial planner and now he's telling me to stop saving my money. It's not that I'm telling you to stop saving your money. We're just going to do it in a different way. I'm not a financial planner. You're going to decide what you want to do. But remember, now you're looking at your debt as an investment vehicle because interest saved is interest earned. It's not that you're going to stop investing your money. You're just going to do it in a different way. Now, the first thing you might be thinking of are IRAs and 401ks. What about those contributions? What do I do? First of all, I don't want you running out and pulling money out of an IRA or 401k to pay debt with. The tax penalties are pretty severe. But as an option, you could stop putting money in the IRA and invest in the debt with it. It's an option. Now, 401ks are a little bit more tricky because they're so different from employer to employer. But as a general rule, you can either stop the 401k contribution altogether and take that money and invest in the debt. But if you're not comfortable with that, there is an alternative. It's true that most companies will only match up to a certain percentage. So let's say you're doing your due diligence and you're investing 10% in your 401k every month, but your company only matches 5%. Well, here's an opportunity to minimize your contribution down to 5%, still take advantage of the match, but now you've freed up 5% to invest in the debt. And this is money that you're already used to living without anyway. But anywhere else, single stocks, mutual funds, CDs, money market accounts, bonds, interest-bearing checking, any of the traditional ways that you've been investing your money now, you could stop doing that for now and invest in the debt. It's an option. Now, let's say that you have been investing and you've got some money sitting, say, in a mutual fund, and let's say it's $15,000 and you've got the normal couple credit cards and you've got a car loan and a house loan, could you see you could take that $15,000 out and invest in the debt? It's an option. I can't tell you how adamant I am about this. If you cannot sleep at night because that money's not there, don't do this. This is not about replacing stress with different stress. This is about relieving stress. If you're comfortable with taking that money out and you see what it could do to your debt elimination plan, by all means, that is a viable option because remember, it's a guaranteed return on your investment. It's interest saved is interest earned. But if you're not comfortable with it, don't do it. But it's not all or nothing. You don't have to take the full 15 out. Could you take 10 out and do it? Or just take 5 out and get rid of maybe a couple of credit cards and get yourself going. Whatever you're most comfortable with, that's what I want you to do. Something a little bit more advanced, if you've got a nice 401k, now, you got to get with your company and find out what are all the particulars and everything like that. But as a general rule, in many cases, you can take a loan out against your 401k, restructure your high interest debt into a lower interest loan. And then when you're paying back the interest, you're paying back the interest to yourself rather than someone else. That's an option. Now, the problem with that, though, is that the 401k loan has to be paid off in a certain way in many cases, which means that the company will set you up on a payment plan where they take it out of your paycheck every month and you have to pay it out over time. Or if you want to pay it off early, you have to pay it off in one lump sum. A way to get around that is to use your debt investment account, which I'm going to teach you how to set up here in a second. And what you do is let them take out their minimum payment out of your paycheck, but you're using your debt elimination plan and your debt investment to accelerate that payoff, but what you're doing is you're making payments to your debt investment account, pretending like you're paying off the 401k. And all it really is doing is building up this lump sum so that once it's to the amount that you need, then you can go to the 401k, pay it off, and then get right back with your plan. You can also do this with a home equity loan. To take a home equity loan out, restructure the high interest debt into a lower interest loan, and in many cases, not always, but sometimes it'll make your process happen even faster. Let's say for the typical American family is 8 years and they take out a home equity loan and maybe that 8 years is now slashed down to 6.5 years. Now, like I said, it doesn't always take time off, but in many cases it can. Now, the second easiest place to find money, and this is actually the easiest place to find money. This is the first place I have my students look when they are trying to locate money for their debt investment. It's actually within the payments themselves. And what I mean by that is, let's say that you've got 4 credit cards and the minimum monthly payment on all those credit cards is $50. But you know minimum monthly payments are bad. I can't pay minimum monthly payments. I'll never get out of debt. So let's say you're sending an extra $100 to each one of these debts. Hidden in that scenario is a $400 debt investment. If you've been sending that extra to anything, stop doing that and put it all on your first bill, and you'll be amazed at how quickly this goes. Now, for most people that come to my seminars or they're using the DebtWork system, that's 10% of their gross monthly income right there, or a good way towards it. Because if you're anything like I was sending extra money to all my debts because that's what I was told to do. And now it just seems simple looking back on it, but it was all this money going out all these different directions, and it didn't have any power this way. Now, this is the only thing that I mandate that you do. Now, I've been giving you options because this is your money and I want you to be comfortable. But if you want to get out of debt the quickest way possible, you need to focus your money one step at a time. If you've been paying extra on your house, stop doing that. If you've been paying extra on your car, stop doing that. If you've been paying extra on anything, stop doing that and focus one bill at a time. Now, I can tell you when I started paying my bills this way, just the process of sitting down and paying my bills was less stressful. Now, maybe you've never done this, but for me, it was a 45-minute to an hour ordeal every time I sat down to pay my bills to figure out who got what. And, you know, I'm going to send them $300 extra. I'm going to give them an extra $100 and them an extra $50. And I would play stupid games with myself and say, hey, wait a second. You know, I'm not going to give them $300. I'm going to give this one $300 because this is $4,200. And if I give it $300 this month, well, next month it'll look better because it'll be $3,000-something instead of $4,000-something. All that crazy stuff went away because if it wasn't the bill I was working on, I didn't have to think about it. There was no stress involved. All I'd have to do is, what's the minimum monthly payment? Write the check, and that was it. This was all before online banking, and now all you got to do is, what's the minimum monthly payment? Type it in, you're done. That's it. All your extra money going to one bill at a time. Now, the next thing that happened was I started getting excited when the bills came in. And I know you're probably thinking, you know, this guy's crazy, but what happened was, you know, it's true. I had 6, 7, 8 debts, whatever it was, that, you know, weren't going anywhere because I was just paying minimum monthly payments. But there was one bill that I actually could not wait to open every month because it was going down by $600 a month, $700 a month. I was starting to see results. Before, I'd send out all my extra money and then all my bills would come in and the interest would eat everything up and it wouldn't seem like I was getting anywhere. But now I was seeing results. And then as things start to roll up and you start to send $1,000 towards the next bill and you get to see that process happening, it can get exciting. And I've gotten emails from people saying, you know, I thought you were crazy, but I actually get excited when my bills come in. So those are the two easiest places to find money. Now, within the DebtWork software, there's the debt investment form, which is a place for you to use as a mind jogger to create more money for the debt investment. And what you'll do is go through all the different areas of your life where you're spending money, figure out what you're spending now, figure out what you're going to reduce that to, and theoretically that difference you can use towards your debt investment. But if you're taking those two easiest places to find money and the debt investment form to create more money for the debt investment, but you're not capturing that money, you haven't helped yourself. You can do everything you want to save money, but if you're not capturing it, you're not saving yourself. So what I'm going to do for you now is I'm going to share with you the debt investment account, and it's an automatic way to capture the money that you are creating for your debt investment. So now I'm going to teach you how to set up your debt investment account. Just like I gave you a process to eliminate your debt, now I'm going to give you a process to capture that money for the debt investment account automatically so you don't have to think about it. Put this all on automatic pilot for you. So try this. Open up a free checking account at a different bank than you use now. And when you set it up, refuse the ATM debit card and refuse the checkbook for that account. Now, you might be asking, why do I set it up at a different bank? If you've got the discipline to set this up at your bank in a separate account, that's fine. But if you set it up at a different bank, it's a little bit more of a hassle to get to the money. Second step is to set up a direct deposit that is going into this account. Now, since this is your debt investment account, the amount of money that you want going in is enough to cover the minimum monthly payments that you add up in your DebtWork software, plus what you decide your debt investment's going to be. So for instance, let's say you've got $2,500 a month in minimum monthly payments, and then you decide that your debt investment's going to be $500. Well, then what you need to set up is a $3,000 direct deposit into your debt investment account. Now, the third step is just to make sure that you can use online banking, and this really goes along with the first step when you're setting up the account. So what you've done is you've set up a situation where you've got $3,000 a month going into your account, and essentially the only time you can touch it is when you're paying bills with it. So there are three benefits of the debt investment account. First one being that it's an automatic way to capture the money that you need for your debt investment account. The second benefit of the debt investment account is it's teaching you the habit of diligent investing without any risk involved. Now you might be thinking, you know, what do you mean by that? Well, picture this, okay? That $3,000 a month, every month, is going into your account, and then you're investing in your debt. $3,000 in, $3,000 out. $3,000 in, $3,000 out. Can you see that you're getting in the habit of investing without any risk involved? The key to successful investing for people is consistency over time. The problem with that is most people don't have the patience, and because there's risk involved, they can't ever get into a pattern of consistent, methodical investing. Now you have a vehicle that's risk-free, guaranteed, tax-free, and you can't get that anywhere in the world except investing in your debt. Now, the third benefit of the debt investment account is that it's a built-in emergency fund. The amount of money that you're choosing to invest in the debt is just that, an amount that you're choosing to. So you can also use that money to keep you from going back into debt. Now, right now, when emergency comes up and you don't have the money to pay for it, how do you normally pay for it? And you can say it, what you do is you charge it. And there's nothing wrong with that. If something comes up and you don't have the money to pay for it, charge it. I'm not anti-debt guy. I would never tell anybody to not go back to school because they're going to go in debt, or don't start a business, or don't, you know, buy a car or house because you're going to go in debt, or, you know, the washer blows, well, wash those clothes by hand or walk to work if you have to. No, that's ridiculous. If you don't have the money to take care of an emergency, charge it. Rework your system, find out where it falls out, and get right back to your plan. That's what you would do anyway. But see, now you have a systematic way to get rid of that debt as quickly as possible. But also, you can use your debt investment account now as an emergency fund. So for instance, let's say that extra $500 is set up in your debt investment account. Can you see now that you have a $500 built-in emergency fund? So before, what you would have done is something comes up, you go to your normal account, you see that you don't have enough money there, and then you would automatically just put that on a credit card. But see, now there's an interim step. Now what you can do is you can go to your normal account, you see that you don't have enough there, but see, now you can go to your debt investment account and realize that, yes, this extra money is going towards my debt investment, but let's say that you've got that $500 in there and you need $300 this month to take care of an emergency brake job on your car. You go to your account, you take out $300, you pay cash for it. You only got to invest $200 that month towards your debt, but you didn't have to go back into debt. And when I got to a point where I could start paying cash for emergencies, I wasn't debt-free yet, but I felt wealthier because I wasn't having to pull out a piece of plastic every time something semi-major happened. And also, when I started paying cash for emergencies, I realized that those emergencies used to cause more stress because of the fact that I was having to pay for it with credit. When I got to the point when I was paying cash for emergencies, I noticed that when those things came up, they didn't cause the stress that they did before because I was able to pay for them and forget about it. I wasn't reminded every month when the statement came in. Now, as I said, I have no problem with the fact that you're using a credit card to take care of emergencies. I don't think that a person should cut up all their credit cards unless someone's got a clinical spending problem. There's no reason why you should cut up all your credit cards. You should keep one, maybe two, depending on the size of your family and your credit limits. But it also doesn't make sense to have five, six, seven credit cards either. But if you're going to keep that one credit card, I would suggest keeping it at home for emergencies. What I found is that when I carried mine around, I had perceived emergencies everywhere I went. So I had to keep that credit card at home. But if you have the discipline to carry yours around with you, that's fine. But remember now that you have an emergency fund, and the more debt you get rid of, the more you're going to be able to pay cash for those emergencies. And your debt investment might be starting at $500, but quickly it's going to be $700, and then it's going to be $1,000. And there aren't too many things that $1,000 won't take care of. So the three benefits of the debt investment account is that it's an automatic way to capture that money for the debt investment. It teaches you how to become a diligent investor, and it's a built-in emergency fund. Now, the last thing I want to do with you today is to show you how powerful your money is once you are debt-free. So turn to page 165 in the textbook. And what I need you to do is to take that amount of money that you're going to decide to put into your debt investment account and go down the left-hand side. And we talked about, for instance, that $3,000. Come across to that five-year column and look what that $3,000 a year or whatever you decide your debt investment is going to be, look what that's going to be in 5 years, just earning 10%. Look what it's going to be in 10 years, 15 or 20. Now, did you ever think before you started this program that the amount of money that you make right now could have you out of debt this quickly and then 5 to 10 years after that potentially have this much money sitting in investments? So what we've learned today is that yes, you've got some money tied up in some debt, but it's not the debt that's the problem. It's holding on to the debt that's the problem. When you think about it, debt has greatly improved our modern day lives. We wouldn't have our houses if it wasn't for debt. We wouldn't have our cars if it wasn't for debt. We wouldn't have our, most of us wouldn't have our educations or be able to start up a business if it wasn't for debt, take care of emergencies if it wasn't for debt. So it's not the debt itself that's the problem. It's the fact that people are holding on to the debt that's causing all the problem. So you've got some money tied up in some debt, but now you know the fastest way to get rid of that debt. And then once you are debt-free, now you can start to create real wealth for yourself. Now I want to leave you with one more thought, and it's this. What is the debt doing to you personally? How's it affecting your personal life at home? How's it affecting your relationship with your kids? How's it affecting your work life? It's my personal belief that if we can eliminate just the financial stress in our lives, it's not going to take away all your problems. But if you're really honest with yourself, you'll realize that most things stem from the financial stress. If you get that in order, there's so many other things that'll seem a lot more simple. It's one of the reasons why I've created this program. It's the reason why I do what I do. And I hope that if there's just one thing that you've learned today that makes your life better, that's what this program's for. It's my true hope that you can take this information and greatly change your life, which is going to change the lives of everybody around you. Once again, I want to congratulate you for making a decision to make a serious change in your life. I wish you all the best, and remember, working on your debt matters.